Need the Lord to bless His Word, as we always do. Had a chance recently to visit a place, maybe some of you have seen it, or maybe you've seen pictures of it. We've built in the last few years a life-size Noah's Ark in Kentucky. Have a chance to go up and see it, and see the scale of it and the size of it, and get an idea of what it was that the Lord asked Noah to build. I found it very interesting, and I looked at that and thought, you know, that was a unique request. That was something that I don't believe the Lord came and just chose Noah as an experienced shipbuilder, because there was no need for that skill, that ability, that. But the Lord knew exactly what it would take. The Lord knew the exact dimensions that would be needed, and was able to come and reveal to a man that it never needed to build a ship that could float on the water. But He came, and the Lord revealed unto Noah the exact requirements of the dimensions and of the way that he was to build it and the levels of it that he was to construct. And you know, whenever Noah followed the instructions, it worked. Whenever he followed the dimensions and the pattern that the Lord had given him, when the water started coming down and the water started rising, the ship floated. And I'm thankful this afternoon to know that our God has given us a pattern. He's given us instructions to prepare us for the time to come, to be able to get us through this life and to be able to stand the judgment shock of God. I'm thankful to know that the Lord just hasn't put us out here and said, you're on your own. Noah, you're on your own. You better find some way to be able to float this one out. But He gave him, along with that, the preparation and the instructions. I'm interested this afternoon in us following God's instructions. I'd like to read a familiar passage in Ephesians. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The first commandment with promise. And you say, Clint, you're talking in the wrong room. The children are back there. But you know, I don't believe this concept ends when we turn 18. We see and heard a little bit this morning of the philosophy and the wisdom of this world. What this world is offering our children today. Little Johnny, you're so special. And if Johnny doesn't want to do what I've asked him to do, it must be that Johnny knows better. And I need to give him that safe space and that place to explore and find his own way through life. We face a generation, and 2 Timothy, I believe, even speaks of the last times. In the end days, you find that people will be disobedient to parents. You know, a children and a generation that are raised and that grow up not learning the importance of submission, of obedience, of what it means to be brought under the authority of someone that's over you. You know, they grow up and the authority then becomes not only the parents, but I've got problems with the authority of the land, being able to submit myself unto that authority and the authority of God. You know, there's a pattern for us to follow in our homes, in our marriages. I can latch on to the scriptures to say the wife is to be in submission to the husband. And I can hold on to that and say, I demand that. I exact that in our home. But you know, for the formula to work, I need to follow all the steps of it. I need to submit myself unto Christ then, as Christ also gave Himself unto the church. You see, there's a pattern then to follow. I need to be able, as the leader here, to demonstrate what it means to be in submission. To demonstrate that I, in turn, can be in submission to Christ, and that I can serve as Christ served the church. So my challenge for us this afternoon is that this isn't only for children. Lord, help us as parents, as young people, as those that there are our children coming along behind, Lord, help me to demonstrate that I've learned what it means to be in submission, that I've learned what it means to be brought under subjection to a greater authority. We read of Saul, maybe we'll turn and read a couple verses here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, the story of Saul and his disobedience or his partial obedience whenever he went part of the way, whenever he took things into his own hands. Whenever Samuel came and met with Saul, began to question him, have you done what the Lord asked of you? You know the natural reaction is to say, well, sure I have. Of course I have. When you ask a child, have you done what I asked you to do? The natural reaction many times, well, sure. Of course I have. His response was, I've done what I needed to do. I've done what I have determined is sufficient in following and obeying what I ought to obey. But that wasn't what the Lord was measuring Saul by. It wasn't measuring him by a standard that he set for himself, but he measured him by his standard that he set. We had an instance a time in the city of Dayton, near where we live. They were having a problem staffing the police force. They said, we're having a hard time being able to get qualified people on the force. So they said, the only thing we know to do is to lower the requirements. We'll lower the entrance requirements to be able to get in. You know, that's what people many times try to do. If I'm not there, if I'm not to the place that I'm meeting the mark, I lower the requirements to get me there. In other words, I shoot and then I draw the bullseye around it after I find where it went in. That's not what the Lord is measuring us by. I'm thankful that the Lord has an absolute, unchanging foundation for us to build our lives upon. It's different than the shifting sands of this world. It's different than the wisdom of this world that changes with every poll or with every study that comes out that suggests some different way. What about the methods of parenting? You follow the ways of the world and it'll shift. It'll change. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us absolute guidelines that we can measure our lives by. So the response to Saul, Samuel said in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. It's not in how far I can sacrifice. It's not in how the extent to which I can measure. Lord, this is what my love means. This is what my service to you means. And this is the indicator of it. And this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to demonstrate to you. And I'll sacrifice for you. But I'm going to do it on my terms. I'm going to do it in the way that I want to do it and give to you. The Lord doesn't have pleasure with that. The Lord doesn't have pleasure with a worship unto Him even. That comes and I demonstrate with a great demonstration of worship to the Lord. And at home, I'm not in submission to Him. Jesus said, if you love me, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, say it. Tell the world about it. But keep my commandments. Because if you don't do that, all the rest is vain and empty and meaningless. The Lord is not satisfied with our own measure of obedience. You know, this word rebellion is a pretty ugly word. It's something that I'd like to never consider myself to be. But you know, there are different forms of rebellion. I may never come to a place that I say, Lord, I will not follow. That's sin. I know that's sin. I'm not going to go that way, Lord. I know that you require this of me in my life, and I am not willing to follow that way. I'm not willing. But instead, the enemy likes to confuse anymore, to get into a place that I don't see the lines real clearly anymore. That I'll look at myself and I'll assess myself and say, well, I mean to do well. Lord, you know my heart. You know I want to do what's right. But I'm just not willing to go all the way. Remember the story of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, 1 Kings 22. Whenever Ahab wanted to go up against Ramoth-Gilead, and he asked, he says, shall we go up or shall we forbear? So Jehoshaphat's desire was, is there a man of God that we can ask? Is it? Let's get the mind of the Lord here. That's a good idea, isn't it? Lord, what do you want us to do here? Well, the king had some 400 men that had already told him exactly what he wanted to hear. But Jehoshaphat was able to understand. He said, is there not someone? I want the truth. I want to cut through everything out. Don't just give me what I want to hear. I want to know, Lord, what your requirement is for my life. Is that our desire? Because there are far more than 400 prophets that'll tell me what I want to hear. So we say this scripture about obeying your parents. This obedience thing is for children, is it? Rebellion demonstrates itself in more ways than just open rebellion. One way is, I don't want to hear. I come to a place that he said, if you read through this story in 1 Kings 22, he said, well, reluctantly, there is somebody else, but I hate him because he never prophesies good of me, but he always prophesies evil, so I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear the words that he says because there's something within it that measures me then. You know, our world today doesn't want to be brought into accountability to a God that rules over all things. So if I can explain away God through science, through experiments, if I can say I believe there is no God, it in my mind absolves me of a responsibility unto that God. He said, I don't want to hear. Folks, it doesn't count when we say, Lord, I can't hear you. You ever seen children that say, why didn't you obey me? Well, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear what you said. But isn't it incredible how keenly they hear other things? Go home, those that have children. After service tonight, try opening a bag of potato chips. And see if children in the bedroom don't hear that crinkling of a bag and come running in there to see if they can get some as well. It's amazing when our ears work and when they don't. But I believe that there's a lesson in that for me as well. Lord, help me not to have selective hearing. Lord, I don't hear what you're saying. I don't hear that. Lord, that's not for me. You know, the enemy would like to bring us into a place of rebellion by targeting the messenger. I've known of children who will remain unnamed that if we've sent a message unto that said, go tell your siblings to come here. Go tell them that I said that mom and dad want them. And sometimes if they're close enough, you can hear the exchange happen. Hey, so-and-so, mom and dad said, come here. I don't have to do that. I don't have to obey you. I don't have to follow what you said. You're not my boss. You know that doesn't hold much water whenever I finally get there? Because they were just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. You need to find out what the message was from the one that sent them. To find out, Father, what is it that you want of me? What is it that you're saying? Lord, if there's something in this for me, I don't want to just make excuses and say, I think that's just them. You know, that's just a hobby horse of theirs. I've heard that before. I've heard that from them. That's just the way they are. No, they just like talking about that kind of thing. If I can reason in my mind to a place that I can somehow absolve myself in my mind of the responsibility to what I'm hearing, Lord, help us to have ears to hear and a heart with a desire to hear what the word of the Lord is. Lord, I want to come. I want to hear the message. Lord, cut across the flesh. Cut across what I want to hear. If there's something that I need to hear, I want to measure myself not by my own opinion, but by what the Lord has to say. I'd like to look at an instance in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. First Kings 13, an interesting story here, and one that I have to say I haven't always understood, of how the prophet that we read about a little later in the chapter came into play. But it says here, behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign unto him. We'll skip down a little bit for the sake of time. Jeroboam railed against the message that was being brought. He didn't want to receive it. And it says that he put out his hand and his hand dried up so that he couldn't pull it again unto himself. And the Lord used this man of God to take a message unto him. Not only that, but as that happened and he cried out unto the man of God to reach out and minister to that man, this was a man of God that the Lord was able to use. And after that, whenever Jeroboam was healed and he turned to the man of God and said, come home with me. I want to reward you. I want to appreciate you for what you've done. He said no. He declined the invitation of the king. You know, that's not something that generally you do. If a king invites you over for dinner, generally you take him up on the invitation. But he told the king, no, I cannot go. What was the reason? Because he said, the Lord has said, the Lord has told me I cannot go there. I cannot go home with you. The 8th verse says, the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. He's doing pretty good, isn't he? He told the king no. He stood firm. Lord, help us to stand firm. To stand on something that is firm. On the word of the Lord, that he desires and is willing to reveal unto us. Everyone, individually, personally, folks, that's what we have to have a hold of. More than just what the collective saints expect of me or a group of ministers, I believe, are expecting out of my life. But that I would have a conviction and revelation and understanding from my relationship with the Lord that says, don't do this, don't go here, don't touch that. Avoid these things in your life. Whenever I have something then that is of the Lord, you know, that's firm and it's something that I can stand on, that the world can come and gainsay all they want to. But I say, I can't do it. I'm not willing. What is the price that you're willing to pay to stay true to the Lord? When I know the Lord has said, what would it take to change your mind? Lord, help us to stand firm. But the enemy has a way about him of transforming himself into an angel of light. The enemy has a way of presenting himself to me in a different manner. So we talked about rebellion taking on different forms. A form that I would never say is rebellion, but a trait within me that's not willing to fully embrace what the word of the Lord is. And so the story goes on to tell of another prophet, an old prophet in Bethel. He got word of what had happened, and he sent for this man of God. And he gave him the same invitation. Come back to my house. And he gave him the same answer. I can't. Because the Lord told me I'm not to go. But then he said, but the Lord has also told me. Folks, be careful. When someone else's word violates what the word of the Lord is. I've known folks that have gone down through their life and said, maybe the Lord doesn't require this anymore. You ever try to train a dog obedience? You know when you tell a dog to stay? If you've trained them correctly, they're supposed to stay until you come back and release them. You're supposed to be able to put down a pork chop in front of them, and that dog, salivating though they might be, doesn't move from that place. Time does not absolve us from the requirements of the Lord. From those things the Scripture says, if I build again, Galatians, if I build again those things that I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I come to a point over the progression and the passage of time that I say, you know, I don't feel the same about this anymore. You know, obedience to the Lord isn't measured by feeling. It's not measured by whether I feel I do it or whether I understand. And we want to talk about that a little more later. Whether I understand what the Lord is asking. Lord, I need to know, what is it that you require of me? Give me a clear vision and understanding. I want the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. I want to measure and build my life by that plumb line. And I don't want to move from it. Because I remember. Lord, you revealed yourself to me back here. And you showed me the way. Lord, you met me there. And I want to stay true and faithful to that. Paul said in the same book of Galatians, though we, or an angel from heaven, or anyone else come and preach unto you, wouldn't an angel coming to preach to you be pretty convincing? Sold me. All right, but if it contradicts the word of the Lord, let us never be moved away from that gospel upon which we were founded and grounded. The understanding that we have the original gospel, not the counterfeits, not the replacements, not the lookalikes. Lord, help me to have it written on the table of my heart by the Spirit of God, written on tables of flesh. And it's sealed there. It's written there that I understand what the Lord requires. You can come along and say something else. You can say the Lord has sent me. But I'm going back to the source. Paul said, even if I come back to you, or an angel, and gives you something else from what the Lord has revealed to you, don't take it. I was working with a man, wanted to pray, wanted to get his life turned around, and he had sin in his life. He was trying to deal with that, work through that. He had an understanding what the Bible taught, but he told me. He said, Clint, the Lord showed me that he doesn't require that of me. And it was a heart-rending place in his life. It was something that if I allowed myself, my emotions could so easily go out and say, I understand. I know you're in a jam here. I know you're in a place. I know that'd be hard. I understand what you're going through. Let's make an exception here. Let's do a little cutting and pasting. Surely the Lord will understand. I've known of those that have said, I know it's wrong. I know it's sin. And I quote, the best that I recall, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to crack a beer with Jesus. And we're going to talk about it. Folks, may we never get into a place of such deception. It starts many times first with confusion. When I start blurring the lines, be careful. Going to the Lord, asking the Lord's will when I already know what I want to hear. When I already know what the answer is going to come out to be before I ever get there. That's the way the evolutionists work. I already know what the answer is going to be. There's no God. There was no creation. Every experiment that I try is going to prove that. Because I already know the answer. That's a dangerous and a dishonest way to approach the Lord. To come to Him as Balaam said, Lord, can I go up? And the Lord knew what was already in his heart. That's a dangerous place. The Lord wants us to follow the instructions by letter and by spirit. I've heard, and perhaps you have as well, people say the scripture, Jesus said, if one smites you on one cheek, turn the other. But as soon as that second cheek is struck, it's game on. It's over. Because he only said one cheek. You understand what I'm saying? Not only by letter. Not only of a mindset and a heart that says, I want to find the loopholes here. I want to try to be able to be a lawyer of my salvation. To be able to justify the position that I am. To defend myself. To say, here's all the reasons why I'm okay and I'm justified in the place that I am. For me to tell my children, children, you've had enough sweets. Leave the chocolate chip cookies alone. Don't get into them. And then I come along and I find cookie crumbs all over the counter. And I say, children, what was this all about? And they say, well, Dad, we didn't get the chocolate chip ones. We found oatmeal ones. There's a difference between following the Lord in letter and following the Lord in spirit. Lord, I want to understand not just the letter of the law, but Lord, write it within my heart. Give me an understanding and a desire that says, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to know what you require of me. Even when we don't understand. You know, we have a privilege that I can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know the letter says this, but it doesn't say anything explicitly about this. I want to be of a heart that says, Lord, I want to know. If there's really honest question in my mind, you know the Lord understands that. And I'm able to come and say, Lord, would you show me here? Show me the way here, Lord. The blessing of a new covenant, of a law that's written within our hearts by a spirit that's able to translate and interpret God's will into my heart with an understanding of it. Lord, what is it that you require? Because I want to please you. The spirit of obedience. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. There will be times that it doesn't make sense. Because we follow not by sight, but by faith. There will be times when the Lord requires of us something that I could say, Lord, I don't understand. Remember Peter? Whenever Peter was out fishing in the boats, and they had toiled all night, and keep in mind that they were experienced fishermen. It's what they did. It's what they understood. And there comes along a man, albeit he was the Son of God. Had he ever fished? It wasn't his profession, his occupation, but he comes along to them after a night of toilless fishing. What is it they say about insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? In mind's reasoning, it says, that's insane. But Jesus comes along and says, launch out and cast your nets on the other side. Now, Master, we have toiled all night and we haven't caught anything. Maybe, Lord, did you understand? We've already been doing this. We've already tried this. Do you know what else he said? Nevertheless, at thy word. And so they went out and they cast the nets on the other side. Brother Rodney Smith preached a message a while back. Brought out something that has stuck with me of the 10 lepers. He said, if you read that account of the 10 lepers that met Jesus, he told them, go thy way. Show yourself unto the priest. And as they left Jesus, they were evidently still lepers. But it says they went their way in obedience to the Master to show themselves unto the priest that could declare them clean. You know, it'd be so easy again to begin reasoning. The wheels of reasoning in my mind beginning to turn and say, that doesn't make sense. That you heal me first. Let me look at my skin that's all clean and then I'll go. But it says, as they went, they were healed. As they obeyed, how many times are there stories and instances like that where the Lord has just required obedience? Folks, obedience isn't a bad word. There's a blessing that comes with it. There's a net full of fish that comes with obedience to the priest going over into the Canaan land. You remember he said you got to cross over Jordan. And the way that he did it, he could have parted the river ahead of time. They come up to the banks and there's the way and it's already dried out and ready to go. But instead he said, whenever you go and you set your foot down, when their feet enter, the soles of their feet enter the water's parted for them. But the Lord wanted obedience. Faithful obedience. Lord, I may not know why, but all I need to know is that the Lord wants it. All I need to know is for the Lord to touch my heart, to suggest to me, this is what I'd be pleased with in your life. This is what I want, but Lord. You know, the scripture says, though Jesus were a son, yet he learned obedience, submission to the Father's will through the things that he suffered. May the Lord help us not only in head knowledge, but a revelation and understanding, a learning within my heart of what it means to really submit to the Lord, to really follow the instructions. Rebellion can take the form of good intentions. Matthew chapter 1, it talks about a father. He had two sons. And he said to both sons, I want you to go out and labor in my fields today. One son said, I will not go. Rebellion. I won't go. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it. And the other son said, yes, Father, I'll go. I'll do it. I intend to do it. But he never did. Which one of them twain did the will of his father? He said, the one that went. Perhaps he was speaking of the Jews and the Gentiles, but I believe it speaks to us as well. That I not only be a hearer of the word, that I not only be one that says, yes, that's good. Oh, that was a good message. Yes, that's right. There's something about that, the reassure. I really want to work on that. But Lord, help me to be the son. Well, Lord, help me to be the son that's obedient and follows up. The son that says, yes, Lord. That measures in my heart as I hear it, Lord. I want to measure to that. But then it takes on legs. And it takes action and I follow through in obedience to the Lord. Because again, it's not just the intention, but it's the action. It's the obedience. It's not just my own assessment of my obedience. It's not my analysis of how legally I've complied with every letter exactly how it's written, but I've measured myself by the spirit of it to be pleasing to the Lord, to be an obedient child of God. Yes. Folks, there is the greatest blessing in life to be able to be in a place that I've learned submission to God, learned submission to His will, to His ways, to His word, Whenever I step out in obedience, then I'll find the blessing of it. Not to say, Lord, you pile on me the blessings and the benefits, and then I'll weigh it out and see which way I want to go. But Lord, I'm launching out into the deep. I'm determined. I want to follow. I want to obey in letter and spirit. And let's prove the Lord. And see if He doesn't open up the windows of heaven. You pray for me.